Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Fair Chase Podcast. I feel good about that one. I still
felt a bit. It got through it.
We are in a garage right now doing a podcast. Shot some content this morning. Figured we'd record a quick podcast, give you guys an update where we're at, what we've been up to. First things first, you were just coyote hunting. You got a red one.
That was good. Well, kind of like an auburnish, orangish red one. So.
Called it in.
Big one. Called it in. Well, we called it in with our feet, I think. So, who's dead calm? We're walking up this gravel road, and we're just like just set up, and he poked out, and just staring at us. I can see his triangle ears looking at us, and wasn't 100% sure if it was a dog or if it was a coyote. So, just kind of watching that, turned the collar on, and came out and killed him. So,
I feel like I'm bad luck. Every time I go with you,
we don't do well. We have not even killed one.
No. Not when we do this thing, no.
You've not had one come in.
We shoot a lot of Rakens.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's fun. I could do that all night.
I'd almost rather do that than sit around calling coyotes to shoot. But, yeah, you've had bad luck. Jared's been a little bit better.
Yeah, does he get one with you?
He's shot at.
I thought it's right. He did it. Okay, so when we went the other night, we got on camera, us both shooting. You had filmed with your thermal, me and him shooting at raccoons. There's two. We split it up. So he shoots, his gets hung up in the tree, and I shoot mine and pop it off, right? Yeah. So I go, you know, time goes by, I go see some friends from high school, and Jared had gotten there before me, and one of my buddies from high school is, like, sitting back, and he's just giving me a look. I'm like, what? He's like, Jared told me he's bugger shooting the other day. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like Jared, we both hit him for a shot, and Jared hit his, and it got stuck. He's like, no, Jared told me you missed. And then he hit the one that flew out of the tree.
I don't know who shot what. I came back up.
We texted Joe forever.
You're probably looking back up on footage because I was right behind you.
Yeah.
And your gun went up.
Yeah. It was 100%. They both died and I shot him. And you were like, because we were texting you about it. You're like, you guys really arguing about who shot it?
Yeah.
Coming out of a tree. You're like 100%. OnX is the title sponsor of our podcast here at the Fair Chase, and it's a must-have app for all of us who love to explore the outdoors. Whether you're hunting or hiking or fly fishing, OnX gives you detailed, accurate maps right at your fingertips. With property boundaries, topographical features, and trail data, you'll always know where you are and where you're headed. You'll also likely be able to figure out where that big buck is headed to. Plus, their offline maps mean you're covered even in the most remote locations. OnX is the ultimate tool for outdoor navigation, making every adventure safer and more enjoyable. Download OnX today and explore with confidence.
Yeah,
I like to do it with thermals too because you can see the warm still on the tree when you shoot them.
You can also see farts.
You can see farts?
You can see farts.
I'm going to test that out next time. I know sure that I usually get a little gassy after midnight, so... Usually that's where we're out. So I didn't want to take too much time here today. I wanted to spend a minute just kind of giving you an update where we're at, what we're up to this year. And we'll probably be doing a lot more of these in-person things or, you know, just you and I talking a little bit more. But first things first, you might notice that there are a few new logos when it comes to the Fair Chase this year. And so we wanted to take a minute to talk about that one.
Yeah. How do you want to start it out? So biggest one, obviously, is if you're looking at for logo, if you're watching on Spotify or YouTube, it we're presented by Ops. So that's kind of a new thing for us. Even prior to me being with Fair Chase, we've been very tight and very kind of an integrated part with HuntWise. So we ultimately made the decision to make a change this year, and that kind of comes with a lot of different reasonings, but one of the biggest ones was like everyone that we started with at HuntWise is largely not there.
We started there kind of the same time, I think, or like maybe you were there with those guys a little before us, but like
maybe, yeah.
I met you pretty early on with those guys.
Like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Ish, something like that. So, and obviously, no like bad blood towards those guys. Whatever, but it was just kind of, it was a fork in the road where there was some new people running stuff, and we kind of looked at some goals that we had for this year and what aligns with what we're trying to get done, and OnX was kind of no-brainer. Yeah, not kind of no-brainer.
Even though it was a hard decision.
It felt like it felt kind of weird. And if it was like the old folks, that not old folks, but if it was the OG crowd, it would have felt
really weird.
Yeah. We're super stoked with, I mean, obviously everyone's used Onyx. We used Onyx prior to Hunt Wise and even during Hunt Wise.
Yeah.
The people set us in, like, you can't look at it unless you have Onyx.
Right. So it's, I'm stoked to be working with those guys. They're obviously a
power. Yeah, man, the number of developers that they have at their disposal to do things is just night and day difference from anybody else.
Right.
It makes a big difference. And I've already become a fan of the, you can hold 2 points in the map and see the distance.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
There's a lot of new stuff, even since I used it last or regularly used it, that kind of blew me away. Like,
yeah,
vegetation layers,
sick
thermal layers, things like that. And then the CarPlay thing, I didn't realize how much I appreciate it.
Yeah.
When we're cruising, I think at night, that's pretty sweet to be able to see everything on your big screen.
Yeah, so I've liked that a lot. No, and so that's the big one. Big switch for us, but also like you said, it's gonna help us do some things that we really wanted to do this year that we're just looking at and spending a lot of time thinking about. So the other one is Kafaru. I mean, yeah, you're loaded up in Kafaru gear right now.
And that's not a new thing.
No,
really. I've known those guys forever, been using their stuff forever, and worked with Scene for a while.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of like an easy transition for when I came over here.
Yeah, did a bear film with Own and Moose. No, fantastic partners, and like their gear is awesome. We just did some pack dumps video stuff that will be coming out here soon. That will be fun to show off.
Like, yeah. But as far as a brand goes, that's nothing new there. I've been using them for like 7 years. Yeah.
Your bag looks like it. You're a city of Nardis.
That one's a little rough.
So
that one, yeah.
Yeah, that'll take the color out of it pretty fast. Do you borax it when you get it? You do?
I have, yeah. I actually lent that pack to a buddy of mine, and he, I think, took it too far with the borax. For a few days, so. Yeah, that's like the snow camo pack now.
Yeah, but. No, yeah, like, so that's the big thing. All this to say, we keep talking about kind of goals for this year. We have talked and spent a lot of time just internally talking about, like, what are we doing? Like, why are we doing this? It's important because there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of people that do a lot of different things that, you know, we're either fans of or not. What we've found is if you're out there and you don't have an intentionality about, like, why, it's just not going to go well. So we've talked about, it's like some people do it for the conservation or the food aspect or whatever. And like, you know, we're all about conservation. Like, I'm happy that there are people out there fighting that fight. It's not really our fight, I don't think.
It's not even so much that. It's just that, like, from an aspect of a lot of podcasts, a lot of YouTube channels, a lot of things like that, all have this center message that it's based around, like, this conservation, this thing eating kind of thing. And those are awesome. Obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be like, I'm not going to be full of shit. It's not why we're doing that.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed shooting deer long before I understood anything about conservation.
Same.
So to say that, like, take my flag into the ground, this is why I'm doing this, it's just not true.
Right. I mean,
there's a lot of people out there kind of towing that line a little bit.
That might not be true, but they feel like they have to do it because that's what you expect.
This is how I'm going to justify it.
Yeah.
So, no, it's when we talk about, like, why we do this stuff, and from my perspective, it was like, even when I joined up with you guys, I said my goal of doing any sort of media, whether it's podcasts or videos and things like that, is to be able to hunt something once a year that I couldn't do on my own accord by myself.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, that's like my motivation behind this, is to get new experiences and then share those experiences through video, podcast, or whatever. But it's all coming back to, because I freaking enjoy it.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quick shout out to another amazing sponsor of ours, Kafaru International. If you're like us and love hunting in some of the toughest places, you know how crucial having the right gear is. Kafaru makes some of the toughest, most reliable backpacks and tents out there, and it's all made right here in America. Whether you're hunting in the backcountry or headed to your favorite deer stand, Kafaru has you covered. keep your eyes out this year, especially as they're launching a ton of amazing new products like the new ARC frame that just came out. So next time you gear up for an adventure, make sure to check out Kafaru International.
So yeah, that's it. Like, we want to share great hunting stories, great hunting information, all stuff. And again, not like we don't care about conservation or, you know, don't eat a ton of wild game. Like, that is all we eat.
Please.
It's, and maybe we're even diving too hard into this topic because it seems like bad to say that that's not the reason for it, but the reason is just because,
yeah, it's awesome. We want to tell people about how awesome,
yeah,
British Columbia. You're headed to British Columbia this year. Like, head there, come back, and tell everybody about what it looks like, what it's like. Go right here.
Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects of like what we're trying to accomplish with this, and some of it is the like obtainable stuff, like the caribou hunts that we've done.
Yeah,
like that's something that anyone can go do.
Yep.
Pending closures. I mean, the whole situation's a mess right now, but
yeah,
most of what we are going to do in a given year is either going to be like the same shit that we would do anyway,
yeah,
without production, without a camera crew, without sponsors, a lot. But there's going to be one or two things that we do a year that are motivated by having new experiences and sharing new experiences that we have to take in dealer partners.
Yeah.
I said not dealer, brand day jobs. Yeah, my day job. So, yeah, so that's kind of our goal with it, is that you are probably going to see stuff that's more of the regular,
mm-hmm,
of bag dumps, of turkey hunts in Michigan, whitetail hunts, elk hunts, bear hunts,
stuff that's stupid in the whitetail woods, you know, like,
yeah, stuff that's going to happen naturally, but then one or two or three hunts a year that wouldn't happen outside of that we didn't do that.
Yeah.
So. And for me this year, that's British Columbia with Mountain Goat. And then for you, it's sounding like
Bison,
the big B.
Yeah,
the
big B. Yeah, I got used to having a freezer full of meat, and I didn't need to buy any beef to supplement it this year.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I do that again, a Bison, it's 2 years. It's two, you know, takes care of that. But we'll do, yeah, I mean, we'll do British Columbia this year, like you said, which I'm really excited to see, because it's the same place I was moose hunting. You'll be with through the same guys, you'll be in that same system, which we couldn't believe how many goats we saw.
I talked to them a little bit, very briefly, kind of in and out of service, and they weren't exactly sure the area that we were going to be in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just kind of like, get a hold of us on Monday, we'll talk about it more. But he goes, there's a couple different areas, and it might be a completely different area than what you guys, mm-hmm, even saw. So, but yeah, so late August, beginning of September, I'm going to BC for a mountain goat hunt. That's obviously, if anyone knows me, I'm very infatuated by mountain goats, the things that live in the cliffs, whether that's, yeah, mountain goats, even the bears that live up there, kind of thing. So the cliff dwellers are definitely like where my heart resides. That's my favorite.
That's cool.
Hunting. So super stoked about that. Never been to Canada on a hunt like this before. I've gone like goose hunts and stuff, but there's definitely some interesting logistics with that, and some gear changes that we need to make, and taking suppressors off of rifles and not having handguns here as a country and things like that.
It's weird not having a handgun.
Yeah.
It was strange. I didn't like it. Everybody carries around their like 45-70 or lever action, but if I was a guy, I'd be pissed
about it. I think most Canadians are pissed about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously deal with a lot of them through work, and there's a lot of people that really wish they could act like Americans.
Yeah, so the backstory is they can't have a handgun. You can't have a handgun in Canada. Also, no grizzly or brown bear hunting in British Columbia, too, bro, which is semi-new, not really.
7-8 years ago, that went into effect.
Yeah.
Not a lot of management happening there. It's kind of like Montana 2.0 with that aspect of it.
Yeah, it's different. You're going to see well, you'll be up high, but I saw a lot of bears. We ran into one bear, saw a lot of bear sign there, a lot of wolf. A lot of them will sign too. So,
oh, we'll be there a couple weeks prior to you guys being there. So, I would assume.
Oh, that's right.
Kind of middle to upper half, the alpine will have some blueberries in it.
You could get into some bears. That'd be sweet.
They're going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talked to Jordan prior to filming today. And Jordan's our camera guy. He's been weighted hike training, rocking. He's very excited about it. He's like, he plans on losing 25 pounds by then.
All right.
Yeah. So that's what I said. It seems very doable. So he did not want to slow. He doesn't want to be the slow you get down.
I'm not right. He seems like he'll be except for seven.
I feel like, so like working out is huge. Obviously you got to be trained well, but I feel like if you just want it, like you just want it bad enough, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, I know. I've met some guys that are in crazy good shape.
Yeah,
that just don't move well.
Yeah,
I guess is the best way to put it, or don't act like they want it that bad. And I've met some big old fat boys that get it.
Just go.
Yeah.
This episode is also brought to you by 2O Gear, innovators in technical hunting clothing. 2O is a newer company. It's based right here in Michigan. And whether you're hunting elk in the mountains or chasing antelope in the plains or traipsing through swamps after that ruddy buck, 2O has you covered with premium jackets and pants, merino wool layers, everything you could possibly need to stay comfortable in the woods. Their products are engineered for functionality and durability, ensuring you stay protected in any conditions. Plus, their camo is really effective. We're big fans. So don't take our word for it, though. Go to 2ogear.com and check it out.
Well, even when I was moose hunting, the other guy with us, he's a big dude, like works out every single day. You'd see, I'm like, oh man, he'll move, you know, he'll do well. And I mean, we weren't even hiking that much. We're, you know, you're going 100 feet up. Or at least he was, not a high hike. He was slow, man. He couldn't haul weight. I was surprised he couldn't carry his own bad self up the mountain very well.
People confuse muscle mass with like endurance a lot of times, I think, where you might be able to squat 600 pounds, but if you can't walk up a flight of steps,
you're in trouble.
Like, you're not doing yourself any favors in hunting. So
it's all like, I found like heart rate too, of like you can hike at a good pace for a while and have your heart rate lower.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you hit hills or whatever, I feel like you do better. That's my science.
As soon as you have that incline, then the lactic acid starts building up and pump a little.
Yeah. Get winded. So we're doing that. And then the bison, minus bison, will be in South Dakota in beginning of 2025, which is like the furthest out I've ever planned to hunt. It's going to drive me crazy to wait that long. But it's cool because, like, bison's interesting because it's kind of, there's kind of a free-ranging bison herd-ish around herds in the United States. But primarily in, like, the continental United States, it's either they live in and out of parks. So you'll draw a tag, like, to hunt right outside of one of the parks in, like, you know, Utah or whatever. And then other people will basically enclose herds in their property.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's like the funny, like people get all bent out of shape. It's like, well, it's high fence. It's like they use cattle fences mostly.
Yeah.
And it's like a 7,000 acre property. But the idea is for how we've managed bison, is that they don't mix well in modern like society terribly well because they need so much space to roam. And so what we've tried to do is either we moved them up to Alaska. There's some free range herds up there. We've kept them and moved them off into parks, or we've tried to keep them away from society. And so it's just like a different type of management and different type of wild game that we're trying to bring back and actually have done a fairly good job of it, considering that it's such a difficult animal to have coexist with people.
It'd be cool to see what it used to look like, though. I keep thinking back of that picture, black and white picture, mountains.
Yes.
Wild. Like how many of them were here at one point? And that's never a possibility.
No, never. It just can't happen. So, and it's interesting too. It's like, cause they do things like that make them harder to easy to kill when they're in huge groups. Like you'll shoot one and they all pop to go by the dead one or the one that was shot and they like protect it. Right. Yeah. So Native American, it was just white guys either that were doing it. Like Native Americans were killing them too. But, you know, we have a better understanding of what a renewable resource looks like and how it acts now. So we'll dive into that in the film. It'll be exciting and interesting. Along the way, obviously, we'll be doing other hunts, like you said, our typical bear, deer. I want to get into mule deer. I want to try to hunt a mule deer this year, but it's hard to find over the counter decent options for that. So
I'd
be out of luck.
There's not a ton. And even the ones that are over the counter can kind of sell out too. I know Nebraska sells out.
Yep.
Idaho, not so much on the archery side, but yeah, Idaho is kind of its own weirdness now with tags being available in December, and then there's A and B tags and things like that. But there's not really a great solution for just going out and buying a deer tag outside of like West Texas.
Yeah,
I think it's probably about the only one that's truly over the counter. I'm sure there's a few of them out there, and there's units that you can get over the counter tags in, but it's not something that's just like go to the gas station here and buy your dozen whitetail.
Or like going to Montana and grab a bear tag over the counter and just rip out there.
It takes some free thought to hunt those.
So I'm excited for black bear.
I'm too.
I got to get my schedule right. I don't know when I'm doing yet.
I don't really either. Or even what state that I'm going to end up in. I know I'm going to be in Wyoming that first week of June.
So yeah,
maybe extending something like that and hunting more of the calving elk.
You've done well in like that time. Didn't you take a couple guys out last year? You did pretty well.
Yeah, that was the first time that I've actually hunted them that late.
Yeah.
And once we kind of figured out where the elk calves were, it was like hunting a bait.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I went from like the first year we bear hunted, we saw like 3 bears. Second year we saw, I think, 2 grizzly was it. And the third year started kind of figuring out with a couple other friends like what country they were living in, what country is like repeatable success kind of thing.
Yeah.
What were some consistent factors that made that repeatable? And that would be like steep timber next to a river, and there's rocks to flip and cliffy stuff and
do better stuff.
Yeah, it's not even something that's like perfectly describable. When you get into an area like I've seen this type of stuff before, it's the one common denominator is flowing water. It's almost always flowing water, and we saw that with the bear that you killed when we were together, and that I missed.
Oh yeah, it was right down there.
Yeah, and then the one that I killed the year prior was right on top of flowing water.
Why is that?
I think it's just, I mean, it's a water source, right?
Yeah,
and I think so. The more, this is kind of a byproduct of flowing water, but I think the reason that it's flowing is because those are the areas that get the most snow melt, which obviously puts more water in the ground, which brings up.
Yeah. Oh, good call. Yeah.
I think it's just happenstance that it's all in the same area.
The other common factor is, I mean, if you really want to find a bear, you just got to hunt down roads.
Yeah. Or just stay right on the road. And it's, you know,
that's where we saw mine, which I'm all about.
Last year we had that. This was all like late April, early May that we've done hunts before. And last year was the first year I went in June, and it was just complete. Everything's green, so they're not targeting specific grain.
Yeah.
But if you could find the elk caps, it was like as much as a corn pile on a
there as well. Yeah. You just got to hang out with groups of elk and wait for bears to come and try to bother them. Really.
Big thanks to Vortex Optics for sponsoring this podcast as well. Most hunters know how important clear, reliable glass is in the woods. In fact, we don't hit the woods without some form of optics in our hands. Vortex Optics offers a wide range of high-quality binoculars and scopes and rangefinders, things that are perfect for hunting or bird watching or whatever you're doing outside. Their world-class products also come with an amazing warranty. I've actually used it, and it's really fast and easy to use. So whether you're spotting a big bear across a drainage or lining up that perfect shot, make sure you're doing it with Vortex Optics.
Well, I was texting you about this the other day. I was asking you if you bow hunted for them, because I didn't know if you had it or not. Remember, you were like, yeah, bow hunt all the time.
Well, you said,
do you hunt? And I didn't say,
you know, the fed bucket bow hunting in Montana.
Yeah. It was, dude, all the freaking, I literally just shot it out.
No. Yeah, I was more meaning bear. At some point, I would love to do a archery bear. I want to spot. I want to sneak up on a non-bait pile bear with my bow and shoot sometimes.
The area that you killed yours is probably where I would do most of that.
Yeah.
Like road country, or like we talked about, the earlier you go, the more repeatable they are. So like you find the one first green patch that's the snow melted and there's some snow melt kind of seeping down and it's green just below that. But then the only green spot, there's a bear hitting it. He'll do that for a while until
just get there before he just is like
post
out.
Yeah. Yep. So we wanted to do it.
We were talking this, the other thing that I would like to do that you found, that slash. Remember the slash? It's like a 10 acre or 10.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yard.
Didn't talk about it.
All right. You didn't hear anything. We got some interesting ideas that Joe's masterminded. Yeah.
That one I'm actually pretty confident you could do a boat lot with.
Yeah.
Very successful.
I kind of think so, too.
Yeah. I think that one would be super.
You just have to be careful how to shoot them. And like which way they're facing.
That's the bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
What? It's, well, you can't go get him because he's in somewhere else.
Yeah. I think everyone's going to think initially Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
It has nothing to do with the national
park. No parks are involved.
A very definitive hard line that cannot be crossed. So
more to come on that soon. We can finish up here. But like I said, I want to take a minute just to talk about what's going on, where we're headed, what we're up to. There we'll have a ton of different kinds of content coming out. Like you mentioned, bag dumps and how-tos or even things we like. You know, I just did a couple of videos and things that I've used and liked and just wanted to tell people about. Some things that are from sponsors. And one of the video I did today was not a sponsored thing. That's where we're at right now. So as you're watching our content and kind of just checking us out, if you see something you want to know more about or hear what our approaches or anything like that, just you do it anyways, shoot us a DM, slide into those DMs and let us know what you'd like to see, what you don't want to know more about, what you're interested in. Helpful for us to keep producing things that you like. At the end of the day, like we're doing it to show how awesome hunting is, but we want to be helpful. I'd like to show people how to do things that will help them be more successful if that's what it is. And if you're going out there and we can be part of that, we'd like to. So,
and that's kind of my background with what I was doing with the hunt-wise side of things too. Yep. That I want to continue in just some different ways. So more educational stuff. People have questions about going out west for the first time, blah, blah, blah. All the kind of same stuff that we've always been doing, just a little bit different formats now, a little bit more thought going into how it's distributed. And
I assume people know a lot, or I'll talk about things that I assume people know more about, and then we'll get comments like, what does that mean?
Real.
So we'll try to do better with that. But like I said, if you need anything, if you have questions, let us know. We'll be doing more giveaways too. We've got one really important one that actually we should be talking about is we partnered with WTA. So last September, I went on a pretty awesome moose hunt, like hunt of a lifetime, place where, you know, my guides are telling me this is the best moose hunting habitat they've ever seen. They've guided all the place. So what we're doing is we partnered with WTA to give away kind of a sweepstakes deal with them where you enter to win. It's like $30 to enter, and you can enter, I forgot how many times, but enter to win this hunt, which is like $35,000 value. Big hunt, big giveaway. So,
and they do these pretty consistently too.
Yeah,
they just did one with Sheer.
Yep. Bighorn. Did I see it?
Like, that's active right now as a bighorn hunt, and like it's constant.
Yeah.
And even this kind of translates to like my relationship with Faru and then coming in with you guys is I've done hunts with WTA for quite some time, like even back in the Salt River, Kentucky kind of days. So
yeah,
we have a lot of experience with them. And while we do, obviously the vast majority is DIY stuff and our own kind of stomping ground and exploring new Western places on our own, it's been kind of cool to be able to experience like the best of the best outfitters.
Yeah.
Which I never thought I'd have the opportunity to do that.
Anyway,
so, like maybe a couple of times in my life or like when I'm older kind of thing, but the giveaways they do for the money that you have into them, like look at it like a bank or look at it like if you went to sheep show, put your name in the hat kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that, but like the end of this banquet, you don't know who these outfitters are.
Right.
If they're worth a crap or not, you're just like, yeah, I'll raise the paddle and see if I can get it kind of thing. But all of their outfitters are like
Tom Good. I use bad ones. I've done a couple bad ones and it sucks. So
yeah. The only outfitter I've ever had has been through that. So I have like no bad experience other than the transport.
Oh yeah, sure. He wasn't great. He was in a guide.
No.
He was just a dude.
He was a dude of the boat.
And he had keys.
I don't have many regrets.
No, that was a freaking awesome shit. I would do that every single year.
I would like to do, I think, the boat-based hunt, spring bear stuff, I want to do at least every other
year. Yeah.
I do want to try a different one this year.
Yeah, for sure. Because we got a film coming out about it, coming here soon on Vortex's channel. But, I mean, you live on a boat, fish
when you're not hunting, and you hunt when you're not.
The fishing was, it was so fun. So fun.
And I'm actually in my last fillet.
We got away with it, yeah. Yeah, I've been eating as much.
We got,
well, I like the cod better than
I agree. I have a hard time making halibut into like fish tacos because it's like this like expensive meat right now, but I still ended up making it fish tacos. That's the best way, in my opinion, to do it.
That's all good. You can't really screw up halibut.
No, it's white, flaky fish. It's fantastic. So, anyways, keep listening, follow along, let us know what you need, and thanks for listening.